For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome to another edition of Power Punch. You're here with me, Larry Behrens, where you're going to get the truth, unfiltered, unapologetic, and unable to understand why I'm still Christmas shopping this close, but I'm going to get through it. We're all going to get through it. And you know what? It was near tragedy this week. Join in. Let's take a moment. Let's shed a tear. Imagine for a moment if you had a job that required you to be in everybody's business, to try to take things away from people any chance you get. You aren't elected. Nobody really wanted you there. And your one thing was a fancy junket once a year. No. I'm not talking about, 2 days at the downtown Ramada that maybe if we're lucky our company gives us. No. I'm talking about 3 weeks overseas, exclusive resort, private planes, catered meals, fawning press coverage. And it's just, you have to ask yourself, why? Why after just 3 weeks is it over? Just 3 weeks. It takes so much. Sure. We're going to talk about climate and how everyone should live with less fossil fuels while we're all flying on planes. And sure, this could have been done by a Zoom meeting and probably been maybe accomplished in a day. But you know what? Zoom meetings, they're just not for us. They're for the plane people, for their kids to go to school when they're locked out. That's for them. No. We have to go to fancy resorts. And sadly, this week, it all came to an end. And it is sad because they came out with a brand spanking new agreement that's pretty much going to ruin your life, my life, and everyone's life. But before we get to that, there was a piece this week, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I'm still trying to figure out the best way to articulate it because I agree with the point. I didn't agree with all aspects of it, but I agree with the point. And the author's point was simply this. We do a lot of dividing and fighting, Republicans versus Democrats, greenies versus non-greenies. And we divide ourselves in a whole bunch of ways, right? And I'm starting to wonder if the divisions we're looking at are not the real divisions. They're the real division is against, this article points out, the nihilists and the rest of us. And like, full disclosure, I still don't know if I'm pronouncing the word nihilist right, but work with me. And so you have, the author points out, you have people who say they want more immigration. All they had to do was raise legal immigration, right? Raise those quotas for legal immigration and you'd get immigrants. But no, they just tried to destroy the border instead. And you have them that are saying, you know what, we want to have a more just criminal justice system. But instead of maybe looking at it case by case, or instead of charging someone with a crime and maybe giving them a lesser sentence, no, they just decide, we're just going to let the criminals run free. We'll take them into custody for an hour, and then we'll just let it go. We won't even charge them with the crime anymore. So it isn't even just a tapping of the brakes of what the nihilists say is wrong with our society. It's an absolute overthrow. And I have to wonder if we're not in that world right now. And of course, we talk about energy here on Power Punch. And energy is just, it's the center of everything. But energy is also a strong point of this argument. Here you have Joe Biden. And we'll make him, yes, he is the central figure of it right now. But he obviously far from the only one. And I would argue this insane movement, nihilist environmental movement, is bigger than him. He's just a cog of it. And so you have Joe Biden, and he says, okay, I hate oil. Okay, I hate fossil fuels. Okay, I hate natural gas. But then he makes deals with Venezuela for more oil. Then he makes deals with Saudi Arabia for more oil. And then he just lets Iran pump more oil and sell more oil. So it seems like he doesn't really hate oil. He just hates the middle class of America benefiting from it. And you have to ask yourself, and he's going to say it's the environment and everything, and the nihilist is going to say, oh, we're compassionate with crime, and oh, we're compassionate with immigration. But really, they're destroying these foundational systems of our world, of our lives. And we've seen the results of it, and we talk about the results of it here on this show. But I, again, when we start to see things of Republican, Democrat, and saying that's, you know, it's all bad from that side. I get it. It mostly is from the left. But maybe it is a little more sinister than that. And when I say a little more, a lot more sinister like that. Can you tell Alex Jones is back on Twitter? Maybe I've reading too much of that. But I think we get divided sometimes with the wrong fights, because here are some of the right fights. So as I mentioned, the globalists had their meeting come to an end this week. They had to jet on back home, but not before. And I need to paint a little picture for you. About a week ago right now, Al Gore was flipping out. Yeah, still trying to be relevant. Al Gore was flipping out because we don't have a deal at the end of COP28. We're going to have wasted all this time. We don't have a deal. Keep in mind, it was like at COP15 that Al Gore said, you know, the world would be underwater by now, and we just ignore when they mess up. But he was sad, and how are we going to do this? Well, bad news for us, and I guess good news for Al Gore, is they did come to a deal, and it's as terrible as you would have thought. The U.S. signed a commitment. The United States, that means John Kerry, Al Gore, and I think, you know, all the other thousands upon thousands of folks the Biden administration sent over, they still haven't given us a final count. But they signed a commitment to shift away from fossil fuels at the conclusion of this year's COP28. This is according to your friends at the New York Times. Representatives from the United States and nearly 200 other countries signed the pledge. I'm sorry, I just laugh when there's such, when we look at them and say, we're going to sign a pledge. It calls for the world to pursue transitioning away from fossil fuels. That's according to your friends, the New York Times. An agreement about the future of fossil fuels was a highly contentious issue over the course of the conference, and representatives from some countries wanted the language to go further, explicitly call for a complete fossil fuel phase out. So this is what they did for 3 weeks. They fought over, besides, you know, plush parties and talking with the media, they fought over whether they're going to transition away from fossil fuels or phase out from fossil fuels. And they consider it a huge victory because they're all coming back to say transition away from fossil fuels. Now, I don't know if you remember third grade civics, but I do. And I remember because it was, you know, the best 4 years of my life, third grade. And when, you know, the United States enters into international agreements, doesn't Congress have to agree to it? But I'm reading it here from the New York Times. We've signed a commitment to transition away from fossil fuels. Do you think this will ever go before Congress? No. It is another executive fiat. And this is what I'm talking about when I talked about the nihilist versus the rest of us. The rest of us who have values. The rest of us who are working to support our families and to look out for each other, look out for our communities, our neighborhoods, our churches, all the things that make up our society. And they just do these executive edicts. The Paris Climate Accord, executive edict, never been through Congress. The Green New Deal, they tried to pass it. Even Democrats wouldn't vote for it. And so they do it through this executive fiat, and we march more and more to letting just Joe Biden run things, or whoever is running Joe Biden, let them run things, and we don't put a check on it. Sure, we send mean letters, and we're going to hold hearings and the theatrics of that. That's great. But the meat and potatoes of changing our lives in a way that is not beneficial to the middle class and working families is being done by the left, and it's not being done with our consent, and it's not being done in a way that will work with us. This is what John Kerry said. Private Jet Kerry said, "I'm in awe of the spirit of cooperation that has brought everyone together." He's in awe of it. So let's be clear. This agreement really only has two goals. One, it's going to allow Joe Biden to continue his war on American energy. He's got a new club to beat up American energy with, right? And so when he, you know, goes after oil workers, when he shuts down another coal plant, when he cancels another pipeline, he can say, oh, we agreed with the UN. We agreed. I mean, how often have you heard of the Paris Climate Accords? Barack Obama agreed to it. But nobody else did. It didn't go through, it never is, but yet it is used as the cudgel to beat us up at every time. Oh, we have to do Paris Climate Accords. We have to do this Paris Climate Accords. We have to. And all of a sudden, this folk, you know, this astroturf of government then becomes real in terms of terrible consequences. So he's going to be able to continue his war on American energy. And let's be clear, they want to ensure that they have something to talk about at COP29. It's coming up again just next year. Don't worry. Yes, it ended this week. You know, I think this is when you know, the nihilists over there who don't really believe in God, I think when they think about the holiday season, this is their 3 weeks that they're trying to replace. No, Thanksgiving, gratitude, no, celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, no, we're not, none of that's for us. We're going to celebrate the climate, and we're going to meet, and we're going to have our own religious-like celebration. We're going to do it in Dubai this year. But don't worry, they'll be back next year, and they'll definitely have something to talk about, and I can guarantee you the results won't be good for us. And we talked about it before. But do you remember at the beginning how the United Nations said part of what they're going to be asking for as we transition away from fossil fuels is we're going to have to eat less meat? They demand, and not just we, specifically the United States. They pointed at you and me and everyone who loves a good ribeye, and they said, no. But what did they do at COP28? I'll tell you. It was, they offered a wide variety of gourmet food options from vendors who serve beef, even as it prepares a report that is expected to call for the West to reduce consumption of beef. According to the online portal of the summit, they had food offerings, and it's delightful. I got to be honest. That include juicy beef, slabs of succulent meat. That is there. I am not trying to get the alliteration and your stomach going at the same time. That is what is here. Slabs of succulent meat, smoked Wagyu burgers, and Philly cheesesteaks, and yes, melt in your mouth barbecue. So you have to eat less meat, but they're going to enjoy that sweet, sweet menu at COP28. And I need to think of a word bigger than hypocrisy, because this hypocrisy doesn't cover it, right? This hypocrisy, you know, hypocrisy is okay. You know, we don't want you to fly anymore because your carbon footprint, but we're going to have a get on our private jet. And John Kerry said it's for the special people. He literally said that. And we don't want you to eat meat anymore. In fact, here's some bugs, but we're going to have succulent slabs of meat. Slabs of succulent meat. That'd be a great name for a band while I'm at it. Slabs of succulent meat. We're going to have that. And if you see our pictures, yeah, you'll see the gas stove in our online pictures. But no, you need to get rid of yours. Oh, yeah, you need to buy that EV. And we know it's going to cost you a lot. No, we won't be driving one. So that it's beyond now, let them eat cake. It's beyond hypocrisy what they're doing now. They are force-feeding us an agenda of snake oil and failure. And they know it's snake oil and failure because they're not using it themselves. And so as they come out with this agreement, here's what I want to, before we go into break here, here's what I want to, you know, have you wrap your head around. As you're listening right now, 60%+ of the energy that we make here in Missouri, or that we use here in Missouri, comes from fossil fuels. Joe Biden has agreed to start transitioning out of that as soon as like 2030 is what they're doing. Because they always set dates for when they know they'll be out of office. 2030, they're going to transition out of it. So Joe Biden and John Kerry, super pinky promise while they're, you know, suckling on those Wagyu burgers, that they're going to be able to take care of 60% of your energy with their sun panels and their windmills within just a few years. No, it's not true. But the consequences are real. And that's why we have to ask, are they really, really trying to fight for anything important other than to reshape the world in a terrible place where working families no longer have a seat at the table? We're not going to get any more upbeat, but we will talk some more EVs. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Power Punch. We're going to be right back after this break.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens. On News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Power Punch. I'm so glad you stuck with us. Sorry, I got a little too maybe philosophical there in the first segment. We'll just get back to the red meat of the argument here. And red meat, well, we can still have it before the United Nations comes and takes it off your gas stove. It's kind of a chicken or the egg, which I guess now are also both illegal according to the United Nations. But are they going to take my hamburger first, or are they going to take the gas stove I would cook it on first? I'm just kidding. I grill it outside. That's how it works. You know, there was a really interesting soundbite this week from none other than KGP. And she is, you know, Biden's spokesflack in chief. And she had something really interesting to say. File this under, you know what, don't believe your own lying eyes, your own lying wallet. Everything is just wonderful.
But I want to ask you about
right, the transition. And that matters, right? It matters that we're not in. No, wait. It matters. Let's not forget what has been happening almost 2 years now, right? Putin's war in
the year into the presidency.
Right, but that has caused inflation. That has caused prices to go up, right? And so the president took action to make sure gas prices went down, which they have, right? And we're coming out of this pandemic. So all of those things have been part of where inflation is. But inflation is moderating. The president's going to continue to make sure that we lower cost and lower prices on those goods that you just listed out.
And there you have it there. It's Putin's fault. It's the pandemic's fault. It's everyone's fault but Joe Biden. It's probably your fault if we're getting down to it, right? It's probably... You know what? Just blame me. I'll be that guy. Just blame me. Oh, it's Larry's fault. And, you know, everyone could feel better. That's what we'll do. The White House would consider it. Don't think they won't. But we talked about coming back from COP28 and the way prices are going up right now. And you know what? There's some people that are doing okay with the prices. This came out of Fox News this week. The spouse of a top aide to President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden, okay, so pretty high up. They're involved with a group that views climate change as a national security threat and pushes for the transition to electric vehicles as part of its efforts. So you have a top aide with the First Lady, we'll find out here in a second, it's John Kerry. And they're involved with the group that views climate change as a national security threat. The guy's name is David Wade. He's former chief of staff to your friend and mine, John Kerry. Now, he's entangled with a Washington, D.C.-based American Security Project, which views climate security as a critical component of its endeavors. Larry, what does this have to do with inflation and money in the grocery store? Just chill out. I'm wrapping a tapestry. So he advises President Biden, and he's directed his administration to aggressively push for electric vehicles. Sounds good, right? It's all on the up and up. He said he works for this group, and they push for electric vehicles because the world's going to end because climate change is a national security issue, right? Well, they also paid his consulting firm a cool $11,000. So it's such great work, right? It's such great work. Imagine you're just a newly minted Harvard graduate. And the only place, since you're a Harvard graduate, that you can get a job at these days is inside the White House. And you decide, you know what, I'm going to take the climate agenda to the next level. I'm going to save the planet myself. And you're going to push the president, you know what, we should be doing EVs. You know what, we should do in windmills. You know what, we should do in solar panels. And Sleepy Joe says, oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. When he can string together a coherent sentence, he agrees to it. And lo and behold, you also have a nice little consulting gig on the side. And that consulting gig gets money for pushing, you guessed it, solar panels, EVs, and windmills. And it falls under the heading of, if the shoe was on the other foot type situation, imagine it's a graduate from, we'll say, a University of Houston, and dad is an oil executive, and you push the White House to buy more oil. Imagine the field day the media would have with that, the congressional hearings, the feigned outrage, the crocodile tears that would come your way. But here we have the great green scheme, the great green grift. How the Green Grift Stole Christmas. Oh, that's my movie next year. And it's happening right before our eyes. You have them. This is why they have so many. Whenever they get these climate conferences, climate ideas, it's always revolves around the money. They'll tell you man-made climate change is destroying the earth and the sea levels are rising. Well, what's going to fix it? Money. Well, whose money? Specifically yours. Specifically to us. And those industries that donate to our political opponents, yeah, they're the bad industries. And the industries that donate to us are the good industries. They just so happen to be the ones saving the earth. I mean, it's almost like the McDonald's lobby went and said, you know that Whopper? It's bad for the world. The Whopper is going to destroy the world. We should outlaw the Whopper. We should really get rid of the Whopper. There is a Whopper cause change that's just going to destroy everything. All right, Burger King, put your letter, get your lawyers, chain them back under the bed, Burger King. It's a hypothetical. But if you could outlaw your competition in the political world, that is what the left does on every single opportunity. And you know what? Not only do they outlaw their opponents, they line their pockets while they do it. How do I know? I'll tell you how I know. There's this little thing. You may recall, called the Inflation Reduction Act. Hey, how's that working out? Oh, yeah, KGP says inflation is moderating. I love that. I love it in the clip. It's moderating. You know how I punch you in the face 3 times? I'm punching you in the face only twice. It's moderating. The person causing the price, I'm sorry. I don't mean to go on another tangent, but I just get upset when we hear that Joe Biden is comparing his success versus the failures that he caused. He caused the highest gas prices on record. He caused the worst inflation that we've seen since Empire Strikes Back was in the movie theaters. He's caused so many of these problems, and now we are expected to say, whoa, look at that. Remember when gas prices were $5 a gallon? It's not anymore. Thank me. That it is such a shell game of deflection that they expect us to buy on a regular basis. Anyway, back to Green Grift and lining their own pockets. So they're outlawing their political opponents. And it's something that they do with, comprehensive, evasive, systemic, these words that just show how omnipresent it is. I mean, we've seen it. It's in our universities. It's in the science community. It's obviously in the halls of power. And I've seen it to where it even gets Republicans, where they have to try to play this game. They have to, I believe this is a real problem, but all that to say, we're going to stop apologizing for it because it is an absolute green grift. Joe Biden's people are making money off of it. If you'll recall, let me help you walk through the scenario here. It was back in, I believe, May 2021, where Joe Biden's energy secretary had Joe Biden go to an electric bus manufacturer, and Joe Biden said, this is the future. He literally said, this manufacturer is the future. Well, looky here. Who but that same energy secretary owned hundreds of thousands of stocks in that same company? So just like this advisor advisor with 11K, he's chump change compared to what the energy secretary did. He's a cheap date compared to that, because she lured the president into saying this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Stock went up. She magically sells her stock. We magically, and when I say we, I mean the taxpayers, magically invest in this company. She sells her stock for a cool $1.6 million. That's no $11,000. She's not playing around. She sells her stock, and then in 2023, the company goes bankrupt. They couldn't even meet their contracts with all the tax breaks and all the subsidies thrown at them. And that's where this grift happens, right? They throw massive subsidies. They throw massive tax breaks, and you have these people coming in like there's chips in the middle of a poker table, and they're all just grabbing a handful, grabbing a handful. You have, you know, Hunter Biden over here. You have Joe Biden's other friends over here. You have the energy secretary over there. You have this Yahoo's vice president over there. They're all grabbing their chips, and there are chips, right? It's our money, but Joe Biden has thrown it all on the table in the name of changing the weather, and everyone's there to grab it. Well, I'm here to tell you, as if you didn't know, as if the having meat at COP 20 whatever and flying private jets and all the other things that they do to show their rampant hypocrisy. Here's the one that just really gets it, so you know that they truly don't believe it. This happened this week. This is a good story from the Washington Examiner. So one of the principal grant makers steering the wealth of the Rockefeller family. What? The Rockefellers? Yes. The Rockefeller families? Yes. That Rockefeller. They have been steering wealth to environmental groups because they're going to save the planet. This is part of how they get the green grift going. They are trying to save the planet by steering the money to them. Well, lo and behold, they super duper pinky swore that by 2014, they were going to not have any more financial interest in that dirty oil money. It turns out to be a lie. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund, a private foundation founded in 1940 by the descendants of billionaire oil tycoon J.D. Rockefeller, has come under fire in recent years from free market allied groups for fueling climate litigation. Yeah, they sue, right? They pay the lawyers that sue, that get coal plants and everything else shut down, supporting the Equation Campaign, an environmental group trying to block new oil and gas infrastructure. But the nonprofit organization appears to be relying financially on the same companies it seeks to punish. Fossil fuels, the fuel source so everywhere that even the people who hate us have to use it. That's where we're at right now. Again, they call about transitioning away from fossil fuels, and then lo and behold, they can't give up the planes. They can't give up the meat. They definitely, absolutely, positively cannot give up the money. So the holdings, which they detailed in their 2022 tax forms filed in November, underscore how left-wing activist hubs referring climate change as an existential crisis are instead raking in cash thanks to the oil and gas industry. They will make the, again, if the world is about to end, as the groups they fund say it is, then how come they're making money off of it? If it's such an existential crisis, how come they're flying the private jets? I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a contest, and we're going to decide what the new word is for this rapid hypocrisy. Greenpocrisy? I don't know. No, that doesn't cover it. It has to be really good. But we'll come up with it because it is all 100% a grift. And I'll tell you everything else. It's about to get worse. We're heading into an election year where Joe Biden has, we'll call it the biggest slush fund in the history of America. The Inflation Reduction Act, $369 billion. Did he put a climatologist in charge of it? No. Did he put a scientist in other ways, biologist? Anyone who is supposed to be in charge of saving the earth with a PhD after their name, did he put any of them in charge of it? No. Who did he put in charge of it? He put Bill Clinton's chief of staff in charge of it. He put a political operative in charge of it. A political operative, by the way, before he got put into this in charge of the slush fund, was working for it. You guessed it. Green Company. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't already see how the fix is in to try to undermine our way of life, then it couldn't be any more clear. They will take our money and use it against us while doing the things that they tell us we can't do. Speaking of things we can't do, let me get something crazy for you here. I would hold on to that gas-powered car. Just bear with me for the next segment. You're listening to Power Punch. My name is Larry Behrens. We're going to be back right after this.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at NewstalkSTL.com. This is Power Punch on Newstalk STL. Let it grow, let it grow, and there's a burning in your heart. Don't be alone.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Get charged up on the truth. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back. We have slowly arrived. Detours abound, and the road is curvy to get to the end of Power Punch, but that's where we're at. Last segment is here. You know what? Just pretend the road we were driving to get to the end of the show was in an EV, and you can, you know, just build in the extra 25 hours it's going to take to go across town. We're going to talk about how, you know, EVs weren't that popular this year, but they were really, really supposed to be. In 2023, EV strategies took a punch from reality. I didn't title that. That's somebody else. I'm not saying that the world is copying us, but clearly the world is copying us. This was the year the auto industry's race toward an all-electric future took a little bit of a detour. So if you recall, let's just hit that rewind button. Let's go back to like COP27. I think, no joke, I think that was in Egypt. And they're talking about how EVs are going to be great. And then you see the Super Bowl that year. And I know you were watching the Super Bowl earlier this year in 2023. And it had those EV commercials and life was going to be great. And it was just going to be wonderful. And utopia was just around the corner. Whoops. This time last year, they were gearing up to invest $1.2 trillion. Not of their money, mind you, but invest $1.2 trillion by 2023 to move electric vehicles from niche products to mass market models, many with batteries and software developed in-house, because that's important. So, as this year closes, though, legacy automakers as well as Tesla, Rivian, and other EV startups are throttling back investments and reworking product strategies. Legacy automakers are appealing to policymakers to help offset the high cost of the EV transition on top of billions of dollars already pumped into the EV subsidies. What? You didn't run out and buy your EV this year? High interest rates caused by Joe Biden, that's true, have pushed many EVs out of the reach of middle-income consumers. That's funny. It's pushed. I love the phraseology of this. They pushed it out of reach of middle-income families. Were they ever in reach? Like, I was planning to, you know, have a, you know, 8-month sabbatical in Paris, but now that's been pushed out of my reach. No, it was never in your reach. It was never close to you. So it was never pushed out of your way. Lack of charging infrastructure is a deal breaker for buyers. I don't think that's the deal breaker. Used to adding hundreds of miles of gasoline driving range in just a few minutes. Here's the lie that you're going to hear. And it's okay, lie is a strong word there. Here's the misdirection you're going to hear. They're going to say EVs are the future. All we need is more charging stations and the cost for them to come down. And I'll admit that's part of the thing. But just for a second, the thing that nobody talks about when they talk about why people don't buy EVs is the charging time. I mean, once you stick that nozzle into your internal combustion car right now, how long does it take? I mean, 5 minutes, right? And depending, I understand a lot of semi-truck drivers, it's going to take longer and so forth, but it takes not that long. And then you get to an EV and you almost need like every car to be a full truck stop with a movie theater and maybe even a hotel, because you're going to need something to do while your car sits on that nozzle for what's going to be 3 hours to charge it up. And they never say that. They're like, oh, it's just lack of charging stations. No, we're going to find out here in a second. It's not a lack of the charging stations. The charging time, besides, you know, all the money out of your pocket. So this is what we're going to see in 2024. And I want you to get ready for it, because we mentioned some of those car dealers there. And Rivian was one of them. Rivian is a car company that I'm sure they're lovely people, but they've lost billions upon billions year after year. And it was, I believe, in June of this year that they had a meeting with the guy I mentioned in the last segment, John Podesta. Because when you are trying to save the earth, you go to a political operative at the White House to do it. And they go meet with Podesta, and they wouldn't talk about what they discussed. White House won't discuss it. Rivian won't discuss it. But I will. Here's my guess on it. If you've been losing billions for years and you have a guy in the White House who has staked his reputation upon these things working, my guess is they went looking for money, because the CEO of the company brought his team of lobbyists with them, And really the only reason you're going to do that is because you're asking for money. And thankfully, Uncle Joe's got it. Courtesy of you, me, and everyone else, we're going to invest the money. Here's Uncle Joe talking about it right now.
4 years of Infrastructure Week, but it failed. He failed. On my watch, instead of Infrastructure Week, America's having Infrastructure Decade. Decade. Over $1.3 trillion. Trump just talks the talk. We walk the walk.
That's right. Investing all the trillions. We just have all the trillions to be investing. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Well, we saw what has happened with it. It happened this week. Now, I need you to picture this for a second. And maybe you've heard of this, maybe you didn't. But you know what? My family, growing up, Ford family. Loved them. Still loves them. Still driving around. The family, the part of the family that are ranchers and that actually work hard for a living that you know, don't understand how I, you know, can maybe make money talking on the radio. They all have Fords or Ford products, and they always have, and because they work great and they're wonderful. Particularly Ford pickups. Ford F-150s, Ford F-250s, the whole line. They love them. And they're not the only ones. The entire world, the entire nation loves them because that is the number one selling vehicle and has been for, I think, 40 plus years. Except for the latest one. It's kind of a snoozer. Ford Motor Company will reportedly soon reduce the number of F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck it builds on average every week. In a message to suppliers, the automaker said changing market demand led to it adjusting its planned Rogue electric vehicle center production of the pickup to an average of 1,600 per week, according to Automotive News, and that's reportedly going to begin next month in January. So this was a plant, and this is where it gets, well, first of all, the headline here. Ford is reducing the F-150 electric version by 50% next year. They know they're not going to be able to sell as many. They're responding to consumer demand, and consumers don't want this pickup. It is the vehicle is and it's an internal combustion vehicle, is the most popular vehicle for 40 years in a row. You make it electric, people don't want it. They have to scale it back. That is what is happening with EVs this year. And you know what? The Ford says they are being judicious about our production and adjusting future capacity to better match market demand and its electric vehicle businesses. Given the dynamic EV environment. Like an avalanche is dynamic. Earthquake's dynamic. When things are falling apart, it can get dynamic. And I joke, but here's the tough part. They're cutting it back at this plant where people work hard. They want to support families. It's in the United States. And they spent money upgrading this plant in 2021 because the green future was just around the corner because they believed Joe Biden. And that's what was going to happen. And now they have to cut back on that. Imagine, this isn't some niche little vehicle that nobody wants. This is the most popular vehicle. Imagine if they instead decided to build internal combustion Ford F-150s there. Seems the market's pretty strong for that. We see, I don't know about you, but I see reports on the internet that used cars prices are going up. And I would venture it's because we don't maybe make as many internal combustion cars as we used to for new cars. And we need those internal combustion cars. So my advice to you, internal combustion, and I would definitely hold on to it because this is something that we're going to continue to see. And in case we forgot the hypocrisy of it, Joe Biden does not own a single EV. Joe Biden is not driven around in an EV and John Kerry is not either because they know the dependability of it. And, you know, we talked about this on the show before, but it bears repeating. It happened this summer. That same energy secretary who sold her stock and made millions off of the electric bus company that she had Joe Biden prop up. She was going to take a tour. She was going to take a tour in an EV this summer. She's going to drive through the South and she was going to show you that it's possible and it's wonderful and it's great. Well, do you remember what happened? It took a staff of at least two other cars, following her along, one, in case her charge ran out, and two, we'll find out here in a second, but two internal combustion cars to follow her EV so that she can complete the trip on schedule. And the second internal combustion car, you know what it was going to do? It was holding a charging spot for her at one of the few busy charging points in the country. And they sat there in it, and a family went into charge in the summer heat while they were running out of juice with a kid inside, was being held up by the Secretary of Energy. So let me rephrase this. If you have a staff and if you have a budget where they could, you know, drive around two internal combustion cars around you everywhere you go, then maybe an EV is right for you. But for those of us who don't have that, and I'm going to go on a limb and say it's at least one or two, or maybe all of us, this EV market, for them to come back and say, why doesn't anybody want these, and not understand what a terrible part it is? And to go back to the first segment of the show today, I think they knew. I think they knew exactly how terrible it would be. But they had to undermine their enemies, and their friends had to line their pockets. And they've got the chips on the table to do it because we gave it to them. And oh, by the way, so was it a recent survey, I think this year, told us how many, let me see if I can find it, told us how many of us want to buy EVs. And the answer is, this Associated Press, it's a whopping 19% would consider an EV. 2 out of 10 of us would consider EV. And consider what it took to get. You may say, well, it's not a bad number. Well, first of all, my 20% grades is why I had to do, 4 years in third grade. But the other part of that is, consider what it's taken to get there. That is the government subsidizing the manufacture of electric vehicles to the tune of probably double. So if you're having to pay a cool $100K for that Ford F-150 Lightning, it probably costs $200K to build, or near there to do it. So they've subsidized the heck out of it for a long time now. Plus, you get tax breaks for it, right? So they've subsidized the cost of manufacturing. They subsidize a little bit the cost of ownership. And still, they can't get to quite 2 out of 10 Americans wanting to buy one. When is it going to be time that we call this snake oil exactly what it is? An absolute abysmal failure. And we're going to keep throwing. If Joe Biden gets his way, 2024 is going to be the year we triple down. The only thing he learned from Solyndra is that they just didn't waste enough money. And now we're going to see a whole lot more Solyndras. Joe Biden is the architect of probably more major business failure than perhaps any other president. And he's going to spend a record amount of money to do it. And this gets into our last story of the week. A little upkick, but maybe not. The Biden administration touted the opening of their first taxpayer-funded electric vehicle charging station as proof that Bidenomics is delivering for Americans. So just days after the station was open, it's sitting empty. The inaugural station opened December 8th, 2 years after the administration allocated $7.5 billion to build electric vehicle chargers across the country. In the 2 years after President Biden signed the bill, the administration failed to install a single charger despite sending $2 billion in taxpayer funds to states to build new stations. So first of all, I don't know where there's a taxpayer-funded gas station I can get in on. I'd like to see that. But second of all, $2 billion, one charging station. I would ask, where's the money going? But you know where the money's going. I know where the money's going. It's all a green grift, and we're going to keep talking about it as we should. Hey, we're heading into the holiday season. You know what? I hope everyone is having a fantastic Merry Christmas. Be nice to each other on the roads out there, even if they're in a Tesla. And we're going to meet you right here next week. We're going to talk about it a whole lot more. Thanks for joining us.
Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at NewstalkSTL.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens. on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.